Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we journey through the book of Acts and learn that true faith leads to action. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, each and every one of you, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. Regardless of where you're listening from, whether it be the car, I'd love to know that one day. On my live podcast that I do on Facebook, I'm able to get real-time comments and people let me know where they're listening from. But with the audio podcast, it's you guys are kind of in the witness protection program. I don't know who all's listening and where you're all listening from. It'd be wonderful if you'd send me a little message or something every now and then. Just let me know that you're listening. I would love that. You can email me at kurt.skelly@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. But I'd love to know how many people are listening from your car. How many listen at home? Is anyone listening while you're exercising? That's probably a small minority, but it would just be interesting to me. So anyway, however you're listening today, thank you for listening. It means a lot. And I'm looking forward to jumping right back in today, joined again by John Edmonds. And we're in Acts chapter 9 and verse 23. Saul is on the gospel warpath. Man, he is preaching, he is teaching, he is arguing in a good sense of the word, the validity of the person of Jesus, and his testimony is making a difference. And the Bible says in verse 23, and after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. And their lying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night, led him down by the wall in a basket, and when Saul was come to Jerusalem. So there's a little bit of a question mark here, John, because as we look at the chronology of the life of Paul, we know that he was saved on the road to Damascus. He began his early ministry in Damascus, but then he mentions in his testimony in Galatians that he spent some time in Arabia, in the desert. So how does that jive with what we just read?
It is interesting often in the Bible, Pastor, how that the Bible continues the narrative, just maybe a little bit of a time sequence words or phrase. And here we have, after that many days were fulfilled, we have no idea how many days that was. And this happens all throughout the Bible, where we sometimes are reading, wow, that was like the next, like a week later. But it could have been a longer period of time without
doubt. Several years.
Yes.
Yeah, so the best way to understand scripture with scripture here is to see that, you know, Saul did have some one-on-one time where he received some special revelations from Jesus, and really his training for ministry was this in this period of time that the Bible says many days.
Yes. And what a fascinating thought that Jesus teaches Paul in the Arabian desert and gives him a better understanding and things that Paul needs to know to serve Christ effectively.
Yeah, and it's you see that in other great called ones of the Lord. For instance, I'm thinking about, you know, Moses, you know, even David for those years that he teaches people in a quiet, private place. Ahead of dynamic public ministry.
Preparation. I love that word, Pastor. Preparation is big to God. God prepares his servants. Oftentimes we think we're prepared for something, but then God will take us through sometimes what may seem like lonely days. Maybe you're on the backside of a desert somewhere, and it's often during those times when God is growing us so that we can be the effective ministers that he has for us when he opens the door of opportunity for us.
So let me just read this, because we referenced it, but in Galatians chapter 1, when the Apostle Paul gave his testimony, he said, "When it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. So Paul said, I didn't need to get human validation. I knew what Jesus had said to me. I knew how Jesus had called me. So he says in verse 17 of Galatians 1, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter. So the many days of Acts chapter 9, if you compare them to Galatians chapter 1, that would be at least 3 years.
It is great to do, you know, studies like that, Pastor, where we take the Bible, we compare it to see how it is. It helps understand so much more the narrative when we put things in a chronological order and see how things are unfolding, in this case, in the life of Paul.
So after he had gone to Arabia and then had come back to Damascus, he was more enlivened than ever before to preach the gospel. I mean, think about it, John. He had spent time with the Lord.
Yes.
He had direct revelation from God. So if he had been zealous at the start, just imagine how much more zealous he is now that he has all this fuel of new information and new revelation.
Yeah, this would have been just astounding to think back, to have 3 years in the desert with Christ teaching you personally. That is just what an experience that would have been.
Right. So he comes back to Damascus and preaches again, seeking to convince Jews again. But truth has an amazing impact on people. So the truth of God's word never leaves a person the same. Either it's going to change him as he responds in yieldedness to it, or it's going to enrage him and make him obstinate as he rejects it.
That's a great observation, Pastor, that truth, we cannot just be neutral to the truth. Either we will accept it and we will grow, or we're going to refuse it. And we find that people, like we find in Peter's epistles, people that don't grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, how they can get to the point where they even forgot, they ever placed their faith in Christ. They can forget their old sins were forgiven because they've rejected the truth God's trying to give them, and their heart becomes hardened.
So in this case, the Bible says that the Jews took counsel to kill him. They took counsel to kill him. So this is a mob decision. This is calculated. It's really interesting. It's exactly what Saul was doing earlier. He was taking counsel as a group to kill Christians. And now he's on the receiving end of this.
Yeah, and this story is fascinating as we read this. You know, some people sometimes say the Bible's not exciting. This is extremely exciting. What's happening right now in Saul's life, if you think back to what's going here, I mean, people want to kill him and he has to escape by night. You know, God is working in Saul's life and protecting him because God has a great ministry for him.
So God tipped him off. He found out about the plot. And their lying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. So they were stationed at all the points of egress, because in order to go anywhere, you had to go through a gate. The city was walled. So they figured, the Jews figured, our plan is, let's have our operatives at all of the points of egress, and we've got him. There's no way that he can escape us now.
And this was quite a planned operation. You know, here they have people lying in wait for them. And you just see, even early on here with the Jewish people towards Saul, how much they hated him, and they want to do away with him.
And they thought that their plan was foolproof. They had covered every gate at every hour. So think about their vigilance. They've got people working shifts of every gate, every hour. And yet the Bible says in verse 25, then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. Boy, that's just an amazing story. Can you just picture that? They're letting him down in this huge basket over the wall in the middle of the night. What intrigue.
Yeah, this has been a fascinating narrative for this to be going on. And we see how that God is working. You know, sometimes in our life, we get into situations that seem like they're just beyond hope. There's no way out. Everything is covered. That we can't, no way can we do this. And yet God can provide a way, even in the midst of what seems seems to be insurmountable circumstances.
For sure. And the Bible says in verse 26, and Saul, when Saul was come to Jerusalem. So what a, and you know, the Bible simply states it as a matter of fact, but boy, the butterflies and the thoughts swirling around in Saul's head as he left Jerusalem 3 years ago to kill Christians, to arrest believers, and now 3 years later, he's going right back. I wonder, you know, what do the high priests think? They know by now. They've heard the reports. But, you know, all of Saul's crowd, all the things that were gained to him, all the ladder climbing, all the connections, you know, Gamaliel himself, his teacher, this must have been an emotional journey.
I think what it had to have been, you know, here we have Jerusalem was the capital of, you know, of Israel. It was the Jewish center for religion. And now Saul is going back to that area and knows many people there. And it's interesting to see even this amount of time later, how that a lot of the Christians are still afraid of him because he has was so well known for persecuting the church. It's hard for them to believe he actually is a changed man now.
Right. It says he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. And the Bible says, and believed not that he was a disciple. So even though it had been years, even though they had heard these reports, they were so afraid that maybe this is just a ruse. This is probably just some kind of a plot. So such was the nefarious nature of Saul in his old life that no one is trusting him yet. And I'll be honest with you, I don't blame them.
It's something to think here. You know, now the Jews hate Saul and they're trying to kill him. And now the Christians, who Saul actually is a Christian now, but again, they find it hard to believe that he really can be a changed man. And so now he's hated by both groups of people.
And to me, one of my heroes, verse 27, but Barnabas. Remember Barnabas, that's his nickname. His name is Joseph. He's the son of consolation. That's what the word means. He's an encourager. But this encouraging leader in the church, Barnabas, took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. So it took really one person to have the courage to put Saul with the disciples and to mediate this situation.
And it reminds us, Pastor, of the great power of one individual stepping forward to encourage somebody and to speak up for somebody. You know, Barnabas did have an idea what would happen with Saul, and Barnabas speaks up. He willingly comes to his side, as it were, and all these Christians are afraid of Saul. And yet we see the power of one individual stepping forward and how that person can make a difference.
Yeah, and the influence that Barnabas had among the disciples. Like, they wouldn't believe Saul. The apostles were suspicious of Saul, but such was the testimony of Barnabas that if Barnabas said, listen, he's good. Okay, you can trust this guy. Think about the influence that Barnabas had among those men.
It's a great observation. I think back in, we've seen in Acts 4 how that Barnabas, you know, gave property to the common good of the church, and he was a man of stature in the community. And it reminds me of the necessity of our using our mouth to speak up for people.
Yes.
I think of the proverb, you know, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it must eat the fruit thereof. How that we can speak life into people and help them by just our words.
We're going to talk a whole lot more in the coming podcast about this man, Barnabas, but just seems as if Barnabas was always the guy that was bringing people together. He saw the good. He loved people, whether it was chasing down Paul years later in Tarsus to bring him into ministry again, or whether it was him speaking up for his nephew, John Mark, when John Mark had made some bad choices. It just seemed that Barnabas was there to encourage people, to serve God, to encourage people to live in unity. And wow, I just want to be a Barnabas. And we'll talk more about him, my friends. Now's not the time, and we kind of are out of time for today. But thanks for joining us. Appreciate your faithfulness to the podcast. We'll jump right back in here to tomorrow, or next episode, I should say. And so have a great day in the Lord. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.